Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, if you didn't know, and it says at the top of your bulletin, this Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday. It is not really a word I grew up with, transfigure. I grew up with go figure, but not transfigure. I mean, the word literally means to change form or appearance. The image of Jesus on a mountaintop appearing in glorious form with Elijah and Moses is to be a preview of his coming glory after the resurrection. Jesus wanders up the side of a mountain with three disciples, and they get to stand and watch him talk to two dead prophets, Elijah and Moses. And then they watch his appearance change and his clothes become dazzling white. They hear the voice of God once again saying, "This is my beloved, listen to him." And then Jesus says, "Don't tell anybody. Don't say a word about this until I have been raised from the dead." When I read this, I wonder if as time passed by, they wondered if they really saw what they thought they saw. Did they really experience Jesus talking to dead prophets, lighting up like a Christmas tree and his clothes all Cloroxed all out to death? Did they wonder if they really experienced wonder? Because wonder is more than a fantasy. It's a kind of feeling. It's something that can bring us to life. It's something that transcends our very expectations. Wonder is what makes our eyes get big and our heart swells. But in our world today, wonder has actually been replaced by special effects. There isn't much we haven't seen created on a big screen, have we? I mean, we see everything created on our television and in the movie theaters. And I know that most of us, I know I do, want to be thought of as sophisticated, a believer in science, someone who uses her mind well. So it's difficult sometimes to not only focus on wonder and mystery of the divine, it's certainly very difficult to discuss it when we're all trying to become rational thinking beings, which is a good thing to be. But then you think about these disciples who had been invited up to witness this wonder. It wasn't a time for a rational discussion about the laws of physics. Jesus being transformed before their very eyes, wouldn't that be something to see? But I wonder if they asked, was that real? Was that real? That's our Western thought. That's how we pretty much approach the whole God question. We do that the same way, looking for the verifiable proof of God and shying away from what might be construed, especially by our friends, as unreal or imaginary. So often when we discuss the God question, human wonder and imagination are missing from the discussion. And we wonder why there is no wonder. All around us every day, things happen that we can see anew. Up until now, we have not seen them. They have gone by us, but they're all around us if we're paying attention. We could get plunged into wonder by just the touch of someone's hand, or by the vulnerability of an aging parent, or by the change of the seasons, or the mystery of quiet solitude. There are things all around us each day that are asking for our attention so that we might experience the wonder and awe of God. The ways in which the divine are revealed to us are so many. But we have to have imagination and a willingness to experience it. Many, many, many years ago when Lance and I met, his mother lived in New Mexico, in Taos. I had never been to New Mexico. And when we were going, he tried to explain how New Mexico was different than a lot of places. And I didn't understand. I'm from Cleveland. I understand different, but not his kind of different. And about the third time I traveled there, I said to him, everything feels so right when I'm here. He said, I know. And I've talked to lots of people who go to New Mexico when they need to become grounded. Then a few years later, I went to a class at Ring Lake Ranch in Wyoming, and I was horseback riding, and I was next to the director, and I asked her where she was from, and she said, I'm from New Mexico. And I said, oh, I love it there. It's so different there. And she said, oh, yes, the veil is very thin there. The veil is very thin there. And she put words to what I could never explain, where heaven and earth meet. I think what happens is that God is present so close, and that we take the veil and we make it thicker. We build it up with the things from our lives, with work, with the television, with bills, even with hobbies, addictions, and sometimes religion. We create this thick coat between us and the divine, and the veil becomes very thick. Last week, Pastor Carrie and I were very blessed to be on the retreat with the women. And you women who didn't go, you better go next year. The veil was very thin, wasn't it? We laughed and we cried and we were in community, and it was like we had traveled to the mountaintop together to witness each other's joy and pain and to nurture one another. There was mystery and wonder everywhere. In fact, the word mystery kept coming up. And the interesting thing that a lot of us admitted to is that we don't really want to go every year. We're kind of like a whole weekend away. Even Sheena said, you know, every year I think, I'm not going to go. And then we get there. And it is like we are standing on holy ground once again. And we are talking to the ancients. And we are listening to one another's stories. And we experience transfiguration. We are all changed. We took on new form and we were clothed with Christ. And we sort of peeled away some of those layers that we build up all week long, all year long, that is human nature. For a short time, we became dazzling white. We cannot explain in words to you, but I think all of you know what I mean. Those moments where your eyes become big and your heart swells and you know that you are standing near God. With all the special effects in our lives, sometimes we have to stop and ask, what is worthy of our wonder? What is worthy of our wonder? What do we need to do? What can we take away from our hectic lives so the veil between us and God becomes thinner and thinner? Wednesday begins Lent. And there are many of you who may have never really participated in Lent. We participate in Christmas so much more easily than we do this. We participate in Easter a lot more easily than we do this. Because this is the hard part. This is the part where we strip away those things that keep us from God. This is when Jesus went into the desert and got rid of everything that could keep him from hearing God's voice. God's call to him, God's mission for him, and God's assurance for him that he would be able to do this very difficult task. And so I'm asking you to take seriously this Lenten journey, to read those books, to pray, to talk to one another, to talk to the people you know, be brave. And to go with Jesus, this is another invitation. This is a different invitation than the star. The star says, come and follow, there will be new birth. This says, come, the desert is quiet. There will be no water. There will be no food. And at the end, there is death. But there is also promise. And the veil will be so thin that all we'll see is the glory of God. Reason is good. We need to be reasonable people. But we also have to have imaginations. We have to know that philosophers and scientists both understand that we can pursue the God question through the mystery and imagination. They're all essential to human perception. God's glory was shown on that mountaintop where the veil was as thin as it ever has been. So let us enter together a time where we get rid of the clutter. We climb the mountaintop seeking the glory of God revealed to us through Jesus Christ. We have to avoid planting our feet too firmly at the bottom of the mountain. We have to be adventurous, climb high, and stand on holy ground. We're all going to walk into the cloud of unknowing together, unafraid, so that we may encounter our wonderful God. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.